This is Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-LaTeX sports radio show. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue will bring you the best LaTeX coverage in the state of Louisiana. Here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jason, I don't know about you, but it feels like it's been forever since we sat here. And it has.
I was going to say, how long has it been?
It's been a long time. But we're back. Well, we're going to take another two-week break after this, since, of course, Christmas is 7 days away, and New Year's is 14 days away. We're not going to have shows in either one of those days.
I thought Christmas was in February on this show.
It basically is. Oh, touche. Yeah. That was a bad joke, and it took me about 3 seconds to get it. But you tried.
Hey, I'm Jason Jones. That's what I'm here for, is bad jokes.
Send us an email to the radio at bleedtechblue.com inbox with any questions. Of course, Skip Holtz, Louisiana Tech's newest head coach. He replaces Sonny Dykes, who left to become the Cal Golden Bears head football coach. We haven't even talked about this, Jason. There's plenty for us to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a call on the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's hear from you. Are you happy with the hire of Skip Holtz for Louisiana Tech? Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips, State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Well, Jason, Skip's been in Rustin since Friday. Not long.
Yeah, not even close to a week yet.
He has talked to, from what I can gather, the majority, except for one commitment for Louisiana Tech. The only guy that I believe he has not spoken to is the deep snapper commitment, Tucker Etheridge.
Who was a gray shirt candidate.
So that means that he would have been really a 2014 guy instead of a 2013 guy. How big of an impact is that to the recruiting class? He's a specialist. He's a very talented deep snapper, and I'm not going to discount that. And I hope that the staff does call him and honors the scholarship offer that Sonny Dykes and his staff offered to Etheridge. He has spoken to every other commitment, and everybody is holding firm. Probably the biggest staff news, the only staff news that has been made known, is defensive line coach Stan Egan has been retained. And Egan served as defensive line coach last year and recruiting coordinator the entire time Dykes was in Ruston and did a fantastic job. I think that is a huge victory for Louisiana Tech to be able to hold on to that guy. There's no doubt in my mind, had Coach Egan decided he wanted to go elsewhere, he could have found plenty of opportunities that would have come calling his name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know,
his resume proves it.
He's been
proven
at Texas A&M, been at Alabama, and then just the
recruiting, TCU.
The recruiting job he's done here has been phenomenal. When we were told you cannot recruit talented defensive tackles to Ruston, Louisiana, he came in and blew that rumor or that theory out of the water. So he's brought in a ton of them. And you saw it last year when Tech won the WAC championship. They were able to stop the run. People say, hey, this is Tech. We'll just line up and get our 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and we'll control the ball. And you couldn't do it.
And a lot of that had to do with Adrian Cole and Jay Dudley, which, of course, we talked about all season. The absence of Jay Dudley and Adrian Cole really hurt the Tech defense this past season. But he's during his introductory press conference, he did say that he was going to stay in the spread. He said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In his previous stops at East Carolina and South Florida, he's run a pretty conservative style offense. So this is change in philosophy for Skip Holtz.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I think that's going to be real telling, the offensive coordinator hire. Obviously, Coach Holtz has a ton of connections all over the country. He's going to be able to bring in a talented staff. And, you know, we'll see. Does he bring in an offensive coordinator that he's had before? Does he go out there and find somebody that's going to be more of a spread option or an air raid kind of guy, or maybe somebody –
or just a spread period guy.
Just a spread period. You know, somebody that's kind of in between that's going to throw it around a lot, spread it out, but not necessarily just throw bombs down the field every play.
And he did also say that he wanted to get some Louisiana Tech connections on the staff. One verified interview is Kubik. Matt Kubik, former Tech quarterback, has interviewed for a skill position job on the staff, whether that be wide receivers, running backs, or quarterbacks. He's qualified to coach any of the three. He has coached at Northwestern State, and now he is currently with Clint Conk at University of Central Arkansas. I think he's more than likely he's a wide receivers coach candidate, maybe a running backs coach candidate. Let's switch gears a little bit to the offensive coordinator. There's plenty of guys out there. The spread is the soup du jour, if you will, of offenses right now. There's tons of people who know how to run the spread, and there won't be a shortage of people who would like this job.
Yeah, and you can go. There's probably 15 or 20 college programs in the country right now that are running not just the spread, but the
air
really
raid.
Almost air raid, really get after it, throw it around, and you can find somebody that knows what they're doing if you want to implement that kind of offense. Now, there's probably another 30 or 40 programs that run some sort of spread, you know, or some sort of passing, you know, attack. So, you know, he's going to find the right fit, and I think, like we were talking about, using his connections, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be able to have some really good candidates. He's not going to be just trying to find anybody that's out of a job or somebody that is trying to get their start. He'll have his choice of experienced guys that are quality.
And let's Jason, while we're on the topic of Holtz, and we just won't be the only segment that we talk about Skip Holtz and his staff and what he means to Louisiana Tech, but let's talk about his previous stops. East Carolina, he was extremely successful. There's no denying how successful he was at East Carolina. He inherited a program that Jim Leavitt really, he was the first coach for South Florida. They didn't have a football program before Jim Leavitt became their football coach.
Yeah, he got it started.
He inherited a program that really was kind of in a disarray, and nobody really realized it.
Was it 05 was his first year? Was Skip's first year?
He would have been there 3 years. At ECU, I think 2005 does sound about right. 2004, 2005, somewhere in that neighborhood. They went to three Liberty Bowls, three Conference USA championships. When he got to South Florida, academics were not good. They were last place in the Big East. When he left, they were second place in the Big East.
Yeah, and going back to East Carolina, your 04, it was a two-win team. 05, they were up to five wins. And then
it was, I think it was eight wins for three straight years.
Yeah, well, seven in 06. But, you know, they beat NC State that year, beat Southern Miss in overtime. You know, lost to West Virginia was one of their only losses. And then I think you get to your eight wins. So, yeah, 8-5 the next year in 07, beat North Carolina, beat UCF, beat Houston. You know, they were beating some pretty – and then they beat Boise. You know, 2007 was the year after the Fiesta Bowl. They go and play Boise in Hawaii and beat them 41-38. So,
and there was a year that they played West Virginia. You already mentioned them, didn't you?
Yeah, they were playing West Virginia.
They were the number – West Virginia was the number six team. They were a top team, 10 team whenever East Carolina played them, and they knocked them off.
Yeah, here it is right here, 08. They were a nine-win team. They start the season out versus Virginia Tech, beat them by five, the number 17 team in the country. That was a neutral site game. Then next week, number 8 West Virginia at home, they beat them 24-3, the number 8 team in the country. They go on the road, beat Tulane, come back, go to NC State and lose in overtime by six. I mean, that was a really impressive stretch of four games right there where they got two big top 25 wins against, at the time, I believe both were Big East teams. Virginia Tech might have already been in the ACC. I can't remember what year that happened. So, I mean, he's playing with the big boys. He's beating them. He's winning conference championships, two Conference USA championships, which is what Tech needs to be about.
He goes to bowl games regularly.
They won nine games again the next year, lost to Arkansas in a bowl game by three in overtime, but beat number 21 Houston, beat Southern Miss again, lost to Virginia Tech by 13. You know,
so he was extremely successful at East Carolina is what we're getting at.
Yeah.
when he went to South Florida, like I said, it was not a good situation.
Well, and his he had family reasons to go there. I think his mom lived down there, maybe his in-laws. He was trying to get closer to family when he moved down there, and it just didn't work out. Inherited bad academics, had some character issues, kicked a lot of people off the team, kind of cleaned house, got things going back how he wanted it, kind of stripped it down to the kids that were he wanted there. Then he had some injuries. And then
before this season, they gave him a 6-year contract extension.
Yeah, he just...
That tells you that he was doing something right his first two seasons.
No doubt about it.
The injury bug bit the South Florida Bull football team this past season, and the rest is history. Louisiana Tech's able to hire their first ever head coach in the modern era, we'll go ahead and say that, with head coaching experience.
Yeah, I mean, who knows when the last time was they found somebody that had head coaching experience, but it wasn't when they've been Division I since 1988.
So that's a big deal. He's got a winning record as a head football coach at the FBS level. He's recruited well. He just did not have a good situation at South Florida, and that's hard for a lot of people to grasp. But it's the truth. I've even heard that the South Florida athletic director gave him a positive reference for Louisiana Tech. That tells you that the boosters probably forced his hand. And that happens. It happens everywhere. Yeah. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It happened to Rustin with Kerry Rupp.
Yeah, if the outside pressure gets too much at some point, there's got to be some tough decisions. And so he got on the wrong side of that. But, hey, I mean, South Florida's loss is Louisiana Tech's gain, and we'll go – you know, we'll see where they go from there. But I think it's nothing but positive moving forward.
On the other side of the break, we'll talk about a little bit of basketball, and then we'll get back into the Skip Holtz Louisiana Tech football discussion. The basketball team is really playing well right now, and we're going to highlight what's been going on with the Duncan Dogs. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue.
Jason, we're going to talk a little basketball.
Yeah, the Bulldogs go up to Little Rock, get a big road win. You know, they had a couple of close losses on the road in the state, and, you know, they needed to get that road win. Arkansas Little Rock was 7-0 at home. Bulldogs go up there and get the 2-point win. You know, and
sitting at 9-3 on the year?
9-3 on the year, first place in the WAC as far as the
overall record is concerned.
Well, overall record and Sagarin ratings. If you look at USA Today and the Sagarin ratings, they do a good job of breaking down power ratings, however you want to call them. They've got Tech 78th in the country. Not bad when you're considering you're talking about 360-plus teams. New Mexico State is 4-5 overall. They're at 93. They've got a really tough strength of schedule, 47th in the country. Utah State's 5-1. They're at 104. The two newcomers to the conference that everybody believes are going to be contenders, Texas Arlington's 5-2. They're at 121. Denver's only 3-5. They played a tough schedule, the 105th toughest schedule in the country so far. They're at 143. So that's kind of the top half of the WAC. San Jose State's kind of in the middle, and then you got a bottom four.
But it's really going to take – the Bulldogs are going to have to win their conference tournament.
Yeah, as much as adding Denver and Texas Arlington help and having Tech up there now along with New Mexico State and Utah State, it's not a two-team conference anymore. It's a five-team conference for 1 year. Is that enough? They're the 13th best conference as the strength is, you know, the overall strength is as far as the rankings. But you're behind – number 12 Conference USA, number 11 Horizon, number 10 West Coast, number 9 Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley up there at 9, they'll get two. The West Coast sometimes will. Horizon, Conference USA.
Right now, their predicted RPI from on WarrenNolan.com is 69th.
Which is really good. But
being in a one-bid league,
if you want to
69th is not high enough.
Yeah, if you want to get... If you're in a smaller conference, you want to get that at large bid. You don't need to be at 60s. You need to be in the 40s. And they'll have to get some wins. They'll have to get a ton of wins, get up over 20 wins, have a really strong conference record, and get to the conference finals. and play a really tight game, and if they lost, maybe they'd be in the discussion.
Right now, on WarrenNolan.com, it's a great reference for RPIs for college basketball. Against the 1 through 50 RPIs in a country, Tech is 0-3. Against the number 51 through 100, they're 1-0. Against the 101 to 200, they're 4-0. And 201+, they're 4-0. So it's the better teams on their schedule that they're struggling against. So I mean, I guess that's a positive.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to go and win on the road, but they just lost two in their own state, so it's going to be really hard to go out west and play Las Cruces, Denver, and Logan.
Care to guess what Northwestern State and McNeese State's RPIs are? Based on Warren Nolan.
No idea.
42 for Northwestern State and 44 for McNeese.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
The Southland Conference is not a bad basketball league.
I guess that's because they've got Louisiana Tech grads as their coach. Northwestern State is 2-3 right now. They're number 100 on the Sagarin rankings. McNeese is down to 159. They're 3-3. Stephen F. Austin's leading the conference at 64th. But it's hard to go on the road and win. Like I said, it's in the state, though. So what happens when you go to Logan, Las Cruces, Denver? It's going to be tougher. But if Tech can get some road wins against some of the other teams, pull off one or two against those kind of tougher programs, they'll be leading for first place if you can steal a couple of those wins. Basketball has been phenomenal. I mean, we were talking about it when we were here a couple of weeks ago. The length on this team, especially at the wing positions and their pressure defense, is awesome. Speedy Smith, his on-the-ball defense, he harasses the ball handler into making dumb passes and mistakes. And the rest of the team feeds off that. It's like a, you know, it's almost like a playground style where it's like, hey, we know we're going to get the steal. We know we're going to get the deflections. Who's going to get their hands on it? Who's going to get up there and get the dunk?
The guy that's been impressive lately, and really beginning with the Northwestern State game, is freshman Alex Hamilton.
Oh, yeah, and we even said it 2 weeks ago. You've got Speedy and you've got Raheem at guard. They're looking for that third guard to kind of mesh well with those two guys, and we knew Alex was going to be that guy. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He was stepping into that role, and he's kind of running with it now. You play with those three guards. Coach White has about four different 6'5 guys he can throw out there with him, either Johnson, Gibson, Anderson. And then you put a big out there, and they are going to just run people to death.
They are, and honestly, even this at UALR, Brandon Gibson didn't start, which is kind of surprising because it's been a while at Tech since Brandon Gibson wasn't a staple on the floor. Now, whenever he's not, when he hasn't been hurt, he's missed a lot of time due to injury at Louisiana Tech. But right now, he is healthy. Tech is led in scoring by of course, Raheem Appleby at 17.8 points a game, and then Cordarius Johnson from Red River High School, 11.9 points per game. Speedy Smith at 7.9 points a game. Brandon Gibson, 7.5 points a game. Alex Hamilton, 5.7 points a game. Mike Kaiser, 5.7 points a game, and so on. But Hamilton, I'm going to try to work up this statistic. What he's averaging in the last few games, it's probably close to double figures. He's filling the hoop with buckets, and I've been really impressed with him. He of course makes his freshman mistakes. He's going to have some turnovers, which happens with any freshman guard. That happened with Speedy last year, Speedy is a sophomore and plays more like a junior or a senior. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He had a lot of turnovers last night, which is kind of out of character. He had 6 turnovers, only 4 assists, which is out of character. He had 9 points. But he just makes things happen at the point guard position.
Oh, yeah, and this team is reminding me, the start they're getting off to, the hot start, reminds me of the team that won 23 games back 3 seasons ago. The team started off 12-2, and you open up WAC play, and the top two contenders come to your house, Nevada and Utah State. And Tech jumped on Nevada, held on, 77-71 win, then beat Utah State 82-60 to improve to 14-2. And then they go on the road, take out Idaho, Boise State, come back home, beat Fresno. They got their record all the way up to 17-2 and 5-0 in the conference. After that, things kind of fell apart. They finished 6-8 the rest of the way, but they got off to a hot start. Well, this schedule here kind of starts off the same way. It might not be the top two teams in the conference, but the Bulldogs start off the conference schedule at home, and you've got two of the other four top teams, Denver coming to town December 29th. So not this coming Saturday, but the next. They've got a 12-day break to kind of rest up. Denver comes here next Saturday, and then the following Monday, New Mexico State. So two of the top teams have to come to Ruston. You got a chance to get a great start off in the conference by getting two of the better teams at home. Then you go on the road, three straight Texas teams. Texas Arlington, we mentioned, is going to be a contender Saturday, January 5th. And then the next week you go to Texas State and Texas San Antonio. So that's a nice little road trip. A Thursday-Saturday split where you're playing two teams that are probably, 30, 45 minutes away from each other. So the schedule sets up really nice to start, get a 12-game rest, then you get right into the conference play. But they've got a chance to make some early noise with Denver and New Mexico State coming to Ruston.
New Mexico State's struggling a little bit right now, but that team still scares me because they play the style of basketball that Louisiana Tech struggles against.
And they're always huge.
Well, they've got a redshirt freshman who's – I can't remember what his last name is. I'd be lying if I could actually pronounce it. 7'3", 320-pounder.
Yeah, I'll look him up. He's enormous.
He's Canadian-Indian descent.
Finally got rid of Ramon, and
they get another one.
They get somebody even bigger. Unbelievable.
And he paid his own, from what I understand, he paid his own way last year. He was committed to Xavier at one point. The basketball power Xavier, not the Xavier in New Orleans. But
Xavier, Ohio. Sim Bular. He's only getting 15.7 minutes, but he's getting 7 points, 4.5 rebounds, and of course 1.4 blocks. 62% field goal percentage, which is great. 45% free throws, which is terrible.
I watched him against Oregon State and was not impressed, but he's played better since then. He could hardly get out of his own way against Oregon State.
Yeah, but anytime you're so huge,
just ask what was his name at the Rockets, Chinese big guy?
Oh, yeah, Yao Ming.
Yao Ming couldn't get out of his own way either.
Oh, and there's been even more klutzy guys in the NBA besides Yao.
Hey, Yao, put your arms up. We're going to give you the ball at the top of your reach, and you just do with it what you want.
But New Mexico State is led by an exciting sophomore guard, Daniel Mullings, 14 points a game, 5.7 rebounds. He's shooting 53% from the field. And then it seems like this guy has been there for 20 years, Tyrone Watson. He looks like he's old enough to be there for 20 years, too. Tyrone Watson's the Canadian. I think the Tech band and the students got on him a lot last year. He likes to complain to the refs. Plays very physical. He's a tough guy. But he's averaging 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Both he and Mullins average 3 turnovers a game. So, you know, it looks like they are out to turning the ball over, which is going to play into Tech's hands. If they don't have – they play a big roster, and those two guys are your only ball handlers, you know, that could play into Tech's defense for sure.
Then, of course, Denver plays this Princeton-style offense. You never know what's going to happen. It's like the triple option of football. You never see the Princeton style. It's hard to reproduce it in practice because nobody runs it. And it's even more similar about with the triple option. It's a very much assignment based. Am I lying, Jason?
Yeah, and it's assignment, and you've got to play smart. You've got to just keep your job in your head at all times. You can't slip up, because as soon as you get caught sleeping, it's over, and they'll score on you, and you'll be running back down the court. So you've got to be disciplined when you play that style. Kind of looking at Denver's schedule. They're only 3-5, but they started off, you know, the season being ranked pretty high. They've lost to Cal, Colorado State, Southern Miss, Stanford. So they're not playing a bunch of little sisters of the poor. They're playing some pretty big teams. They did just beat a couple of teams, Mercer and Nebraska Omaha. So they've got a couple of wins recently against some cupcakes, but they go to Wyoming tonight, I believe. Yeah, so we'll kind of see how they do against Wyoming, and then they have Southern Utah before they head to Ruston next Saturday.
Well, let's take an early break. The other side of the break, we're going to talk more football, more recruiting, whatever you want to talk about. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, 888.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Send us an email to the radio at bleedtechblue.com inbox. Give us a call on the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. I am Jay Ford, publisher of bleedtechblue.com. Jason Jones, my tag team partner, as they say on Bayou Sports Line, joining me here. Jason, I'm going to start calling you Inspector Gadget when it comes to searching and looking for staffs. Somebody out there that's a headhunter for football coaches needs to know of your talents.
Whether it's that or recruiting or who knows what, that's what interests me, so that's what I'll look into.
You can scour the web and find people who need jobs.
And if they're connected to Tech in any way, or their baby daddy's sister's cousin was connected to Texas high school recruiting, I'm going to find them.
You just said baby daddy.
You know it. So, hey, so we had a question on Bleed Tech Blue inside the forums. Who from South Florida's commits or their recruits may Tech be looking at? Well, out of the commits, scouring their commitments, I see Moultrie, Georgia, Colquitt County High School, Johnny Ward, 5'11 defensive back. His only offer was South Florida. He's committed. It's Tevin King's high school. Tech's already had a visitor from a linebacker from that school. He looks really good on film. Middle linebacker, John Gray. This is his teammate. I'm thinking if South Florida got a commitment out of him, I don't know who recruited him for South Florida, but I'm thinking, you know, that might be somebody that they're going to look into trying to flip. It doesn't say on Rivals who recruited him. There's another one out of Alabama. That's an offensive lineman. He didn't have a lot of fantastic looking offers, but he's somebody that I think they would probably be smart to look at. Phoenix City, Alabama, is kind of down there, but across the border from Columbus, Georgia. Cameron Frazier, 6'4", 290, two-star. I mean, I think that's a couple they might look at, but it's going to be hard to flip kids from Florida. They got a lot of Tampa, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville commitments. Several hometown Tampa kids. You're not going to flip them to Ruston, Louisiana.
Well, you also can't forget about the guy that did decommit from. I'm going to get it out of here in a second. That did decommit from South Florida after Holtz was fired. I'm looking for that name right now. His name is Asante Woolard, a 4-star. Dual threat quarterback from Winter Park, Florida. Of course, it's Winter Park, Florida. He's a Rivals top 250, 6'3", 205-pounder. Anything's possible because it's late in the game. And a lot of these places.
Possible. And if you're a quarterback and you need a place and you want to be the man and have an offense to kind of be the trigger guy for, hey, you know, I think Tech showed what they can do with an offense, and they got a lot of national exposure from that. So I think Tech's going to be a really desirable place for offensive players to go to after seeing what Colby Cameron and Quentin Patton and company did this past year.
Well, Jason, now let's switch gears a little bit to your
– Oh, one more, I'm sorry.
One more,
before
sorry.
Before we get into that, out of the guys that are not committed yet – oh, man, I did not look the right place for that. There's – There's one guy that's an offensive lineman over at Navarro, and he's massive. I think Tech was already looking at him. They weren't really – his name's Alon Calhoun, 6'7", 345. When you talk about that kind of size, makes me think about Big Oscar Johnson, who's graduating. 3-star. He's got offers from Houston, Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, South Florida, Texas Tech, West Virginia. The only one of those he took an official visit to was South Florida on December 7th. It's 11 days ago. So Skip was already gone, but his staff was still down there recruiting him. With Petey Payro reportedly on the way down to Hattiesburg, the offensive line job's open. Coach Holtz's offensive line coach at East Carolina in South Florida was also under his dad at South Carolina. He might have been the one recruiting Calhoun down there to South Florida.
That guy's a monster.
And he's enormous. That's the one. If there's anybody out of South Florida's recruits that we need, with all the offensive linemen leaving, especially with Big Oscar leaving, Calhoun's the guy we need. He's right down the road at Corsicana, Texas.
If I was a betting man, Calhoun is a run blocker.
Oh, yeah. I think you just put
He's a road grader.
You put him at guard and just run right behind him.
So that's my concern. I believe he will. Skip says he's going to stay with the spread. That guy doesn't fit a spread offensive line. You looked at what Oscar Johnson had to do to transform his body when he got to Tech. I mean, that guy lost 30 to 40 pounds just to get ready to play football. He played at a completely different weight than he did in the junior college at Louisiana Tech, and I think it's going to pay off dividends for him. He and Jordan Mills very well may get drafted in the NFL draft. That's how good those guys are. But that's my concern with Calhoun, is that can he drop the weight? And, of course, that was concerns with Oscar. And Oscar proved he could do it.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I think
Calhoun's got to get down to 310 probably to play.
I think Coach Harrington can get him in shape. And I know Coach Payroll liked those big guys, but I think having those big, huge guys in the spread, I know you're when you think of the spread, you're thinking about smaller guys that can get out and run and pull and do all those things. But then again, you want time for the guy to get the ball out, and you're making those quick decisions, and you don't want somebody that's going to get bowled over. You're not bowling over this guy.
No. I mean, you're not going to get around him. He's 6'7", 345. He's 6'7 by 6'7 almost. That's impressive. What you looking up now, Jason?
Well,
you're intent on the Google machine.
I'm looking at he's at Navarro over in Corsicana. Navarro is kind of been battling Blinn down in Brenham, which is west of Houston, for being the top dogs in football recruiting and even on the field in Texas junior college football. But there's four schools right down the road from Louisiana Tech, starting with Kilgore, just outside of Longview. You go down the road to Tyler, then Athens, then Corsicana, all down Highway 31. Tech has got to get back into those kind of junior colleges. I know you don't want to get a million of them. We've got one defensive tackle coming from through there this year. They've got some studs that go there, and if you're trying to fill some holes quickly, Tech's gone to Mississippi in the past. The previous staff went to California a lot. But just those four schools right there in East Texas, I think, is a great starting point.
Just ask Bill Snyder at Kansas State how those JCs work out.
Yeah, if you find the right ones. Tech hit Mississippi really good 2 years ago, got Larry Banks, got Oscar Johnson. They were able to fill some holes on that offensive line. Banks will come back and probably start this year. Oscar was a big staple the last 2 years. And
The concern on the offensive line is depth. I think the starters will be okay next season.
But you won't have any experience behind that.
And there's not a whole lot of experience in the starters.
Yeah, with Josh Robinson being a second-year freshman this year.
Matt Shepard will start. Alec Davis will start.
Alec Davis is a newcomer, basically.
Well, he played some this year.
Played a little bit. They really like Jens Danielson.
Jens Danielson.
He's a newcomer, JC guy. So between he and Alec, not a ton of experience. Josh doesn't have a ton of experience. The two that do, Matt Shepard, Larry Banks, you got five or six guys right in there to work with. But after that, it's going to be a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience.
Brown, what's Brits Brown's?
And Darryl Brown.
Darryl Brown could be in the mix. He'll be a redshirt freshman next year.
Yeah, that kind of gives you an idea of where they're at, but there's definitely talent there, and there's some experience between Shepard and Banks. They'll be okay, but they're going to have to develop that second unit. Talking about positions of need for recruiting, I know we were going to get into the potential coaches, but
we'll do that next segment.
I've messed you up. We got 3 minutes left in this segment.
I mean, I teased that one. We'll just tease it some more.
Yeah, well, and we'll tease it right now. Next segment, we'll talk about one defensive coordinator name that's been out there that I think is phenomenal, but then Jay Ford found out another one that might be even better. So you need defense, last place defense in the country this past year.
Check out the Bleed Tech Blue Board. I've only heard it from one spot. So until I substantiate it some more, and I trust this source that told me this, but I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to put it out on the radio waves just yet.
Yeah, and real quick, signing day for junior college players this week.
Tomorrow.
We were asked on the Bleed Tech Blue board, what positions is Tech looking at? Well, we'll start with junior college players. You got to get some linebackers in here and receivers. You lose Patton and White. You lose, I believe, Guyot. Is that correct, or is he coming back one more year?
I think he's probably going to apply for a medical hardship. He and Casey both.
You lose David Grew. You know, but the main
inside receiver is not my concern. Outside receiver is where the question is.
White and Patton is the main thing you got to replace. They've had some junior college receivers come in. All your linebackers are gone. Porter got hurt. Randall was a senior. Hester was a senior. Mitchum was a senior. You're losing a lot of guys.
They need a middle linebacker that's a mid-year guy desperately.
And we talked about D'Angelo Brooks, defensive tackle from Kilgore, Shreveport-Bossier native. He's a D lineman. You may see a corner. You may see a safety.
And Colby Brown, of course, Colby Brown could not get eligible for 2012, but he did get eligible. Is now in school at Tech. He's a corner and will be available for the spring.
And we mentioned offensive line. You don't have a lot of depth, so you may see a JC guy or two just to plug holes. They really do need it. You don't want to sign a bunch of 18-year-olds and make them play second string. If you can get Calhoun in there, hey, I mean, this guy's going to start right away. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at. But then I think the depth is pretty good across the board as a whole. So when you're talking about a class as a whole, besides these JC guys, the high school kids that you have committed, if they're going to focus on any one area, they focused on safeties last year. They missed on a couple of defensive ends. I think they'll go after a couple of high school defensive ends. You got Nick Bickham committed already. Obviously, linebacker, even though you need
Antonio McGee, who was originally a commit for Tech at D tackle from Parkway and Bossier. There's no doubt in my mind if Tech wants him, they're going to take him.
Yeah.
And he wants to come to Tech.
He'll be there. We mentioned getting a couple of JC linebackers. You're going to have to get at least two or three high school kids, because what if they switch to the 4-3? You don't have enough bodies. You got to get some high school linebackers. Got to get some high school outside receivers and offensive linemen, because if you're signing two or three JC guys at those positions, you're just going to be losing them again in 2 years. You've got to get some high school guys in there behind them.
One guy that's of interest at outside receiver, Chuck Baker from Salmon. LSU, he was an LSU commit. He's a three-star guy. LSU dropped him. He didn't have a stellar senior season. And for those big AQ schools like that, if you don't have a stellar year, they're going to drop you, and they did that to Chuck. I've tried to get him on the horn to get an interview done with him. He hasn't responded yet. He's got to have some people calling him, unless he's got grade issues, which is possible. But he's a guy to look out for. He's a talented, tall, long, rangy receiver. Jeremy Chappelle, a junior college guy from Tyler. He came in for a visit before Dykes left. He's committed to Mississippi State right now. And then also Jared Dangerfield from Fort Scott Community College in Kansas. He's not a mid-year guy, but he is a JC guy that Tech is on. So there's plenty of options out there. And I'm kind of slow playing right now doing many recruiting stories until the staff is in place.
Well, and now it's the dead period, so it's going to take a while for news to kind of flow out of there. But you mentioned Salmon High School. It's where Malcolm Pichon's from, one of my favorite recruits from the last couple of years. And I just love some of the rivalries you have down there in Southeast Louisiana. And some of these schools that just put out recruit after recruit. You got Salmon versus Franklinton. Every year you watch that game, and there's probably five or six Division I recruits you're watching. Destrehan and Honville, same way. O'Perry Walker and Shaw. Edna Carr and O'Perry Walker. Unbelievable, the talent that's down there in the New Orleans area. But definitely Salmon. I love Pichon coming out of high school, and I think he finally got some playing time second half of this year. I think he's going to play a huge role, even though you've got a lot of seniors ahead of him or upperclassmen ahead of him. You do lose John L. White. I think he's going to play a bigger role.
The guy that I look for on a D-line to really make an impact next season is D'Angelo Brooks.
Well, and then
he was rated in the top 30 JC D-tackles in the country this year coming out, which is – it's a loaded D-tackle class in the junior college world.
And Coach Holt said he's a 4-3 guy, but he said you've got to be able to play some 3-4 in certain situations. Look at all the D-linemen Coach Eggins brought in. You've got Brooks athletic enough, and we saw Vernon Butler was recruited as a defensive end. He came out like 285 pounds and moved inside. You've got the athletes and the size to play a 3-4 because you've got big Pichon in the middle and big Jelly Bean.
But the problem is they don't have linebackers.
Exactly.
Now, you can play IK. Like, you and I discussed this last night on the phone. You can put IK as a stand-up D end in a 3-4.
And you could probably put a couple of the safeties on the weak side. You know, we'll see some of the guys they just recruited. They've got some size to them. You could put a couple of those guys at the weak side or even a bow,
they don't have
a bow feet type. Yeah,
they don't have the depth to run 3-4 for 20 plays in a row.
No, but in certain situations, they got the D-line to do it. If they get the right linebackers, you could probably see a little bit of that happening.
And I'd like to see it.
Oh, yeah, I'd love the 3-4. Just because you see in the NFL, the Steelers over history have done it, the Texans. If you've got the big boys up front to run it and take up space and command all five offensive linemen's attention, that gives you the other eight guys to fly around and make plays.
Jason, I'm going to hold you to the fire now. You've got to talk about your potential assistants.
Okay,
for,
you got me.
For Holtz's staff. On this other side of the break, Jason, the headhunter, Jones will give you his list of potential coaches to be on Holtz's staff at Louisiana Tech. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue every week.
Send us an email to the radio at bleedtechblue.com to ask your questions of what we see as far as Skip Holtz's staff goes and the future for Louisiana Tech football. Ask any question about Louisiana Tech sports. We'll answer it here on the air. Radio at bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call with the same type questions to the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. We were talking about pulled rib and cheese sandwiches during the break from Dowling's, and my mouth is watering.
Yeah, I
mean, thanks, Jason and Joe Dirt.
Hey, it's the best sandwich in town. You can't beat it. Rib and cheese on sourdough, Dowling Smokehouse. Eat it every day. It's probably 1,000 calories. Who cares? It tastes great. You've got some questions on the Bleed Tech Blue board. I'm going to have to get you to go back and make sure we didn't miss anything. But while you're doing that, all right. I don't know who Coach Holtz is looking at for assistance. He's not telling anybody, obviously. But what have I got – ever since we figured out he's going to be the coach, what have I had to do besides do my job at work? Well, in my free time, what do? I look for potential assistance. And he said – he'd be stupid to change what Tech's doing on offense. So, first thing I do, who's going to be air raid? Who's going to throw the ball around? Well,
that's not exactly what he said.
I know he didn't say.
He said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Whatever. He said something about being stupid to change it, too. When one of the first names that I thought of when the job came open at Tech for head coach was the offensive coordinator at West Virginia. You're not going to steal a Big 12 team's offensive coordinator to be your own offensive coordinator. But you look at their quarterbacks coach. He's 27 years old. Jake Spavital started out as a grad assistant at Tulsa under Gus Malzahn. Then he went to Houston, I believe. That's where he got hooked up with Dana Holgorsen, went with him to Oklahoma State. In the last 2 years, he's been his quarterbacks coach at West Virginia. So he's a younger guy. He's a Tulsa native. His dad's a high school coach. Holgorsen coached with Sonny. Obviously, they're going to have a similar offense. Listen to the all-conference players he's been with. G.J. Kenny at Tulsa, Case Keenum at Houston, Brandon Whedon, NFL starter at Oklahoma State, Geno Smith, West Virginia. Pretty impressive. He knows offense.
Well, what about Case Keenum?
Yeah,
he was there, too.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. So,
best college quarterback to ever play the game, and I did just say that.
Yeah, I mean, he was unbelievable, and we saw what he did in just a quarter and a half in Ruston. Another guy that could possibly run the air raid is over at Troy. He was a high school coach for 10 years in Georgia. He ran the system, Tony Franklin's offense, at the last high school he was at. Then, as soon as Franklin left and went to Auburn, this guy, Sean Reagan, got hired by Troy, kind of tutored under Neil Brown. Went with Neil Brown to Texas Tech. So you're running the Tony Franklin offense. He goes back to Troy 2 years ago. He's been their quarterbacks coach for 2 years. So if you're looking to really keep things the same, this is a guy that could definitely do that. Now on to recruiting. I mentioned Jake Spavital. Well, who is Zach Spavital? He's Houston's secondary coach and recruiting coordinator. If there's a way to steal this man, please, Coach Holtz, steal this guy from Houston, because he's been taking recruits from Louisiana for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's been working us over. We got to get this guy out of there. We need him on our side. Jay Ford and I talk all the time about that stretch of highway between Morgan City, Louisiana,
Highway 90,
up through Patterson, up to New Iberia, and on into Lafayette. There are recruits galore, and this guy's been down there taking recruits out of Louisiana, bringing them up to Houston. He's also recruiting the mess out of Dallas. He's beat us on some Navarro Junior College kids. We just mentioned the big lineman they have there in Corsicana. So the Spavital brothers, one's offense, one's a defensive coach, a recruiter. Definitely worth looking into. Another potential recruiter has the same title at Baylor, secondary coach, recruiting coordinator. If there's any way to get him over here, if you can't get Spavital, another name to think about, Carlton Buckles, Louisiana native from AME, graduated from LSU, who's coaching at North Texas from 08 to 10. Now he's at Baylor. Definitely somebody that recruits this area. If you want to get talent, you got to go get the best headhunters out there.
And
you put one of these guys with Stan Egan, you're going to lock it down.
You listing all these names off, it just goes to show you, folks, this Football Scoop and CoachingSearch.com's, they need – you need your own, Jason. Jason's football headhunting service. That's all you. What do you think Laura would think about that? She probably wouldn't like it a whole lot.
All we got to do is figure out how to get the ad revenue, and I'll be all over it. You know, there's a million names. We talked about a name that's been thrown around a lot for defensive coordinator, Greg Hudson. He was at East Carolina with Coach Holtz. They have phenomenal defenses. Some of the stats they had as far as points allowed and turnovers, I mean, they were really big on turnovers, which if you're going to run an up-tempo offense, your defense needs to be forcing turnovers. They forced 33 in 2008. 27 sacks. They had 17 interceptions. They held Houston the year they the second year they won Conference USA championship. They held Houston 5.9 yards per play, Tulsa 4.1. We talked about in the forums some of the guys that might come with him, with Coach Holtz. I think probably the two that are probably going to come from South Florida, if I had to guess, would be Vernon Hargraves, defensive end, special teams coach. Tech lost their special teams coach to Cal. Mark Tomerdahl, so Vernon Hargraves would definitely be somebody you consider. Steve Shankwaller's a really good offensive line coach. He was at South Carolina with Coach Holt Sr., Lou, and then he was at East Carolina and South Florida with Skip. So, I mean, he's a really, really good offensive line coach. I would think those two guys would be coming and would be really good coaches to have here in Ruston. Some guys with tech ties. We mentioned Matt Cubitt. We talked about Tim Rattay.
We didn't talk about Rattay.
Well, not tonight, but Tim Rattay is somebody that's looking to get into college coaching. He was coaching in the United Football League this past year before it went under. He still carries a lot of weight with, you know, his name, and he has a ton of NFL experience. I think that holds a lot of credibility with recruits. So if you see somebody like Matt Cubitt, who's coached at Northwestern State and Central Arkansas, Tech grad, and then Tim Rattay, who's got the NFL experience, it'd be good to have somebody like that on your staff.
Another Tech connection that I would like to see is Ryan Motes as director of football operations. I think Ryan would do an excellent job in that position. They created that job last year. Dykes did. I hope Tech doesn't eliminate it. That is a needed position. You've got a director of operations position for both basketball teams.
And with Ryan's computer skills, his relational skills, his NFL connections, I mean, there's nobody better. So, yeah, I agree. He would be really good. Some other names to throw around. There's a South Arkansas native. He played down the road in college in the late 90s, but he was at Western Kentucky. They had a top 25 defense this year. Alonzo Hampton was the cornerbacks coach at Western Kentucky. I think he's somebody that I don't know if he'll go follow Willie Taggart down to South Florida, but he's definitely somebody to look at. The defensive coordinator down there at Western Kentucky is a Louisiana native. A McNeese guy, Lake Charles guy, and if he was coordinating that defense, they were really phenomenal. He's going to be the interim head coach for their bowl game, I believe. I don't know if their new coach will coach them now or not, but a week or two ago, they talked about, you know, this guy might be the interim for the game. I mean, there's just so many people out there that would be potential good fits, you know. Stan Egan sticking around, you can't beat that. Hopefully
Jeff Coons is not out of the question for Tech. He's still on the staff.
He's done a great job since he's been here with his connections in Mississippi. He's done a good job in the North Shore recruiting, and anytime you can have continuity on a staff, you don't want to have to start completely over, bring all these new guys in and meet all the new high school coaches.
And his dad's a JC coach in Mississippi.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Coach Coons, just like Coach Egan, would be great to keep around. You know, we'll see how it shakes out. But those are definitely two guys I could see being very beneficial to keep around. Talks about some guys with Tech connections, some guys with Texas and Louisiana recruiting connections, and you got to have a mix. That's what Coach Holt said. He wants some guys that he's familiar with and he knows that they can coach, and I'm sure he'll bring a few guys over with him, and he'll just have, you know, a really good kind of a blend there. But
you've done well, boy.
Oh, and that's just, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg on who's out there, but that's some of the ones that I thought, you know, were some of the better ones.
And don't forget to check out on the Bleed Tech Blue board. We thank all of our new subscribers. We were one of the top sites in growth during the coaching search for Skip Holtz, and it would not be without our subscribers that we would not have gotten that recognition from Rivals.com. Check us out, 7-day free trial. We are your home for inside information on the internet and, of course, on the radio. BleedTechBlue.com and radio right here with you. We'll be back after the break. Talk a little bit more recruiting. Why not? That's what we know best is recruiting. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue is back on the radio.
Send us an email to radio at bleedtechblue.com to get your questions in regarding Louisiana Tech. That's what we're here to talk about. Give us a call, Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Get your thoughts on the hire, who you'd like to see on the staff with Louisiana Tech ties. Anybody that we haven't talked about, anybody that we have, give us your thoughts on those candidates. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Well, Jason, that name that I heard before the show,
it's kind of coming out there a little bit, and
it's hitting the internets, the interwebs.
And we talked about Greg Hudson, who's been at East Carolina. This guy's been in the SEC as a defensive coordinator, and he's been a position coach in the NFL. And when he was in the SEC for that 1 year, they were top 10 in total defense, I believe, or top 20 in total defense, top 10 in turnovers for.
Man, are you going to tease this guy's credentials before saying his name?
You got it.
David Gibbs. From 1995 to 1996, he was a secondary coach at Kansas. 97 to 2000, he was defensive coordinator at Minnesota. 2001, he was safeties coach at the Denver Broncos. 2002, secondary coach at Denver Broncos. 2003 to 2004 was Denver Broncos defensive backs. I don't know why he's listed in all these different categories when that's the exact same thing. So let's just say from 2001 to 2004, he was coaching defensive backs at the Denver Broncos. 2005, he was Auburn's defensive coordinator. 2006 to 2008, he was the Kansas City Chiefs defensive backs coach. 2009 to 2010 was at the Houston Texans, and he has been out of coaching since 2010. He's an Auburn guy. Played football at Auburn, had a successful tenure at Auburn. You gotta like this. If you're Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. I think either guy would be great, but it just shows that there's options out there to turn this defense around, be aggressive, force turnovers. Either guy has shown that he can do that, and that's exactly what you need. So, you know, you've got to get a defense, you've got to recruit the athletes to be able to do it, and I know that's kind of what has hindered Tech in the past, getting the secondary that can play up close, play press coverage, and really be aggressive with the ball. But you've got to take some chances because you don't want to let the offense just chew you up 5 or 10 yards at a time and keep your offense off the field. You want your offense on the field. That means you've got to force turnovers. You got to go for the big play sometimes.
He's coached in 6 bowls, 91, the Gator Bowl, 93, the Aloha Bowl, 94, the Fiesta Bowl, 95, the Aloha Bowl, 99, the Sun Bowl, and the 2000 Micron PC Bowl. I believe that was the Boise Bowl at that time. Maybe it wasn't. I forgot which one. All these corporate sponsorships, they kind of ruin where the – you don't have any idea where the bowl is. Abacare, V100, Independence Bowl. At least it leaves Independence Bowl in the title. But David Gibbs is a name that is an exciting one for Louisiana Tech. I think that he could do a good job. He was fired from the Houston Texans. I don't know if you can draw any conclusions from that. You probably can't. The NFL is a different game than the college game, and that's been proven time and time again.
And sometimes, you know, it's just not a fit. Hudson is rumored to be kind of out at Florida State as linebackers coach. So, you know, you have success one place, you go somewhere else, you're coaching one position. You know, what if the defensive coordinator is doing one thing that hinders you and your position on paper doesn't do as well? You know, I don't think that's a conviction of him not being a good coach or something. So I don't know if he coached at all this year, but
I don't think he did. What were you saying about his rankings, the statistical rankings when he was at Auburn?
I saw one thing that said that he was top 20 in total defense and top 10, maybe number 6 in turnovers for. So, I mean, that's what you need here is forcing turnovers, getting sacks, big plays, trying to get the offense off the field.
So he's probably an aggressive style.
You'll give up a couple of big plays, but as long as your offense is getting more big plays, it works.
It works out in the end is what you're saying.
It's a lot better than giving up 5-minute-plus drives over and over. And keeping your high-octane offense on the sideline.
So there's a name for the defensive coordinator position. We've got a name for offensive coordinator just like this one. Until it's put out there for public consumption, I'm going to leave it out of public consumption. Consume it on BleedTechBlue.com.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's a name that's familiar with Louisiana Tech. I will say that. And possibly lives in Ruston right now. And it's not Mickey Slaughter.
Oh, come on. Don't get my hopes up. That's who we need.
Mickey Slaughter is not coming out of retirement as a coach to be Louisiana Tech's offensive coordinator.
And if they live in Ruston, it leaves out Dwayne Woodard. So I was hoping for Dwayne, too. But, man.
It's not Jason Jones.
Well, no, you don't want that. PlayStation doesn't translate. I'm sorry. I suck at PlayStation, too. So, we'll see. I expect the coordinators to be hired this week. I really do. I mean, especially the defense. We're just getting so many names out there on defense. I think that's going to be done. He doesn't have to have his whole staff done this week, but you want to see 2 or 3 names in there. Then next week's going to be weird because you got the holidays. And then the following week, he really needs to get it pretty much solidified because then recruiting – after January 2nd is really going to start. That's it. That's your 4 weeks of, yeah. You know,
they got to get this. They've got to get this done fast, and I think it's going to be done this week. I really do.
I don't think the whole staff will be, or if it doesn't have to be,
the coordinators will be.
Yeah, I think you need your top 2 or 3 guys, and then you can fill it up.
And by the way,
later.
David Gibbs is the son of Alex Gibbs, another NFL coach who's had a good career.
Yeah, so.
It's in his blood.
He's 44.
He's another coach's son. You can't spell Ruston without an S-O-N.
Yeah, definitely. Well, leave out the T, but I get what you're saying.
The reason I say that is I was the day that Tech announced that Skip Holtz was going to be hired, I'm reading the Twitter sphere, and all the people saying, well, you have to be a coach's son to get hired at Louisiana Tech and yada yada, was kind of getting tired of all those reading all those tweets, and then I saw the one that you can't spell Ruston without S-O-N and thought it was brilliant and just had to roll with it because that is funny. That's good material. Let's take an early break, Joe Dirtay. Our final break Other side of the break, we'll wrap the show up, maybe get out here a little early. But this has been Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back.
You gotta love tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call on a Rust and Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rust and Tractor. Jason, I want to talk a little bit about the spread offense and how there's not just one flavor of the spread offense.
Yeah, I mean, there were several guys that kind of got it started, and everybody kind of goes back to Hal Mumme. You know, he was at Kentucky in the late 90s when Tony and Sonny were there. But there's other guys that do it, and some guys kind of develop themselves. You know, Gus Malzahn was a high school coach in Arkansas and kind of came out of nowhere, got some recruits recruited to Arkansas and got hired there, and now he's the head coach at Auburn, you know, just a few years later. So,
but his spread is not like Tony Franklin's spread.
No, and every one of them is different. Rich Rodriguez has one. You know, he was at Tulane how long ago under Bowden, and he's kind of moved around from Michigan.
And then you look at what's it Gary Johnson that's at Georgia Tech, the spread option.
Oh yeah, and that's a whole other ball game.
That's the spread as well. They throw it and they run the triple option from a spread formation.
You know, and Gary Croton was doing a lot of things back in the 90s.
With lots of bubble screens.
Lots of bubble screens, four or five receivers. And, you know, you would see it was not uncommon to see Troy Edwards, Dylan Day, John Simon, James Jordan, Sean Cangelosa. You had five guys. You know, they might all have 100 yards, or four of them would. You'd have some 200-yard games. And Edwards had the 400-yard game against Nebraska. They were putting up crazy numbers 15 years ago.
And then you look at Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly runs a different style of the spread than Sonny Dykes and Tony Franklin do. His is you run a whole lot more in his version of the spread.
Yeah, and I think the running really balances it out.
You have to run. If you're going to run the spread in a modern football, you have to run the ball successfully.
You've got to make the defense think, okay, they can either go sideways, they can go up the middle, or they can go down the field. They're going to go in one of three directions. You can't just play to one of them. And that's the key. You don't have the best athletes. You don't have the Alabama athletes like they do on defense. And you don't have the big 6'4 receivers like Florida has or has had in the past. They're just going to be able to outrun everybody and go catch the ball. So what do? You spread them out. You find the open guy, and you get your 5 or 10 yards at a time. And if they cheat up too much, you throw it deep.
Here's another one that runs a spread that's different than everybody else's. Bobby Petrino. That's a spread that uses more of a pro-style quarterback than nobody else has used. Nobody else uses pro-style quarterback in the spread, really, except for Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, so there's a million different ways
to skin the cat.
And or that Coach Holtz can go, and we'll see. And I hope it's this week, or if not, you know, maybe soon after Christmas as we can get, because you want to get that in there. You got to get the excitement level among the recruits going and say, hey, I want to play for this guy. We saw what Tech did last year. We want to be a part of that. We want to score a lot of points, get a lot of yards. And you got to get that name in there and start getting it out there. So we'll see. Is he going to try to stay married to the system or just air raid? You know, maybe not. Maybe it'll be a little more balanced, a little closer to pro style than just straight up spread. But it'll be some kind of spread.
It will be, and he's going to – with what's in place, the quarterbacks are there. The running backs are there. The anchors of your offensive line are there. You've got some wide receiver pieces, and you look at next year's class with Liddell Marshall out of Fort Worth, who's a speedster, Trent Taylor out of Evangel, who is a speedster and a route runner.
And we had talked about DJ Banks is on campus already. Richie Casey might come back for another year. Jakari Jackson, if he and Casey,
John Greenwalt,
oh yeah, who had a huge spring game, is a great possession receiver, first down guy.
The guy we didn't talk about on offensive line, his brother Richard Greenwalt, who I think is going to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, and he'll be
he could start next year.
He could start at guard for sure. He'll be in the mix. So I mean, there's probably seven or eight guys that have a chance to start. So the offensive line is not totally lacking. You just got to find that first five, get some cohesion going, and then find a couple of guys that can be the first ones off the bench.
A guy that Tech had an offer out to before he got hurt at his junior college, Travis Reyes. He's on the roster. He redshirted this past year. He's got two more years to play, a wide receiver for the inside receiver position. He's another one to watch for. Grant Childress, an inside receiver from Tyler, Texas.
Oh, yeah. He and Trent Taylor, I think, are going to fit this offense. I mean, how many times did Louisiana Tech play Boise back in the – In the last decade.
What are you about to say?
You know, you're playing against Boise, and there was a guy named – what was his name? I mean, just – I don't remember. Every time they throw the ball, this guy's coming out of the pile, and it's like another first down, but it's not – he's under 6 foot. He's not fast, but he's catching the ball over and over. It's like Skipper or something. I mean, he's just killing us just over and over. Probably there's probably 100 Tech fans listening that could call in and tell me the guy's name. I just can't remember it.
They're like the Shipley brothers. Let's just go ahead and say that.
They're just
like the Shipley brothers at Texas.
Yeah, unassuming. You get out there on the field, they don't pass the eye test, but they're going to catch 10 balls over 100 yards and light you up.
Although there's a receiver at Barb that reminds me a lot of the Shipley brothers because he is blazing fast. And he's already got big time offers, LSU and some other, maybe Alabama's already offered him. I think A&M's has already offered him. He's incredible. Trey Quinn is his name. So
one guy that is interesting to me is somebody that was in Texas signing class a couple of years ago.
You know where he ended up?
Gerard Shiloh. He's at a Texas junior college.
He's committed. Old Dominion.
He will
be in Ruston again.
But he hadn't signed yet, right?
He's committed to Old Dominion. The kid's a baller.
I don't know if they'll give him a scholarship, but if there's any way he could end up here as a walk-on, he's a baller.
Because remember, he got to Ruston, and then all of a sudden he had grade red flags from the clearinghouse, which seems to happen at Louisiana Tech way too often. It never happens at the big schools, but, of course, Tech, it's going to happen.
Yeah, and he's at Navarro, so go figure. It's a Navarro puts
but he's
out
a
recruits.
Big, he's a big body. Was he about 6'3", 220?
Oh, yeah, at least 220.
He's a huge guy and runs well.
Coming out of Round Rock, Texas, they were listing him at 245.
But
they were listening at 245 coming out of Navarro right now. So
he got to Ruston and caught everything that was thrown at him. He was going to fit Tony Franklin's offense to a T.
Yeah. I mean, you need somebody like him or like Greenwalt that can go over the middle and make the big catch. And we've got the little guys at inside receiver that can get in space and make people miss, but you need that big guy that can go up there and get the ball in traffic.
Well, that's it. Come check us out, bleedtechblue.com, 7-day free trial, like I mentioned earlier. We have all the latest on the coaching staff search for Skip Holtz. We'll be covering recruiting as soon as the staff is full. You'll know all the latest, bleedtechblue.com. Come check us out. For Jason Jones, Joe Dirt, I am Jay Ford, publisher of bleedtechblue.com. We'll be back January 8th. Have a Merry Christmas from all of us here at bleedtechblue.com.
Tuesdays at 6 p.m. for Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-La Tech sports radio show in Louisiana. This is ESPN.